Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Stephanie Erickson, Vice President for Global Risk Products at Visa. Stephanie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So we're here to talk about EMV here in the U.S. What else is there to talk about, right, from your perspective? It's a busy time. I'm sure you've been meeting with lots of players in the ecosystem, getting their perspectives on how ready the ecosystem is for the October 1st date, and that's what we'd like to talk about today. So your perspective as one who's seen this over the last year or so, we're approaching the cutover date. At this point in our migration and compared to the process that you've observed with other countries around the world, how would you grade us and why?
I would just say that we're really encouraged by what we've seen. I mean, very much to your point that you just raised, compared to what we've seen around the world, we know that it takes many years after the liability shift date to get to significant levels of adoption of chip cards being used at chip terminals. Based on experience from Australia and Brazil and Canada and looking at those markets' implementations of EMV, it took them about 2 or 3 years after their liability shift date to get to roughly 60 to 70% of their domestic payment volume being chip on chip. And it took about 4 to 5 years for them to get after the liability shift date to greater than 90% chip on chip adoption. So where we are in the U.S. at this point in time, leading up to the liability shift date and embarking on this road, is we're very much where we expected to be, particularly when you consider the complexity of the U.S. ecosystem with more than 10,000 financial institutions and many millions of merchant locations. We know from a Visa perspective, as of the end of August, we had roughly 142 million Visa chip cards in market, which is a huge growth compared to September last year. We had about 20 million. So going from 20 million chip cards this time last year to over 140 million chip cards in 1 year is a huge amount of progress. And same thing on the merchant enablement side. About this time last year, we had 55,000 merchant locations ready to take chip transactions. And as of the end of August, we had over 300,000 merchant locations. And we know that many more merchants are turning on in September and October. So we've seen a huge amount of progress in the last year. And there's a lot of momentum that's been built up heading into the months and years following the liability shift date.
So give us an E for encouraged, it sounds like, and I think that's a great assessment. So specifically, though, you mentioned a couple of milestones that are very important. What went better than you thought it would? And on the flip side of that, what do you think could have gone better, and why perhaps didn't we make as much progress as you had hoped?
Well, I think the things that have really been encouraging in the last few months over the summer is we saw a lot of the major retailers really fine-tuning their acceptance process for implementing chip in their lanes, particularly at the multi-lane retailers. We see many of them enabling and turning on just leading into the liability shift date and a few weeks after the liability shift date. So I think it's been very encouraging to see a lot of training of the sales associates. Many of the sales associates that we've been testing transactions at are very well trained on how to do a chip transaction. They're very well aware of how to recognize a chip card. The sales associates are also capable of telling a consumer how to do a chip transaction. And so that's been very encouraging to see that the retailers and the merchants really understand how chip technology works once they've turned it on. And they've done a great job of training their staff on how to do a chip transaction. And I think similarly on the issuing side, we've seen many issuers that have really gotten ahead of things in terms of getting their chip cards enabled, training their cardholders, sending out better materials when they're mailing the cards to indicate to a cardholder what's different about a chip card and how to use it at the point of sale. And a lot of great industry collaboration on education and awareness through different websites and different materials that have been distributed. I think what's still going to be a challenge is debit. I mean, we certainly have a more complex debit environment here in the U.S. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that debit's something that's taking a little bit longer than credit to really get up and running. But we've seen some great momentum in debit chip card issuance in the last several months and also on debit enablement in the common AID acceptance at merchant locations. So I think that was a little bit slow in the earlier days, but we've seen some great progress in recent months on debit enablement and moving that forward as well.
So you mentioned earlier that it does take years beyond the liability shift date for the bulk of transactions to happen on chip cards. And you also acknowledge the complexity of the U.S. market. And in response to that, there are those who believe that it might take us many years, maybe even the better part of the next decade, to make that switch in full. How do you see the next 5, 6, 7 years evolving, and what specifically is Visa going to be focused on to continue the momentum to keep things moving?
Well, I think to answer the last part of your question, we're certainly doing a lot to educate and to get the word out when it comes to talking to both consumer and business media as well as industry media to make sure that the story is getting communicated to consumers, small business merchants, the broader industry on how the migration is going, and that we're certainly not planning to stop with chip. I mean, everybody that's been talking about chip in the industry is very well aware that security is a multi-layered approach, and we need to continue to focus on end-to-end encryption and tokenization, continuing to invest in our predictive analytics fraud scoring models, and sharing better data across the ecosystem to help prevent and detect and drive down fraud in all channels. So that's something that we're continuing to educate folks about, is that chip is not a silver bullet, and we've seen great progress and expect it to continue, but we know that we need to invest and proliferate other technologies, particularly in other channels. And so where I think we expect to be in the next few years is just the continuing momentum of chip. We should probably expect to see some more contactless enablement. There's many terminals that are going out that are accepting not only EMV contact chip cards, but contactless, whether it's for mobile acceptance or also potentially for contactless cards. Some issuers are talking about getting through this first wave of card issuance, converting to EMV for contact chip, and then potentially starting to look at dual interface and contactless enabled cards in addition to EMV in future years for speed and convenience, and to take advantage of some of that mobile acceptance infrastructure that's beginning to grow. So I think we'll see continued development on the acceptance side of new technologies for mobile in particular, and that may change a little bit about how the card experience happens if more contactless enabled cards begin to be issued as well.
So sticking on the acceptance side for just a minute, there's been a lot of progress made over the last year, but certainly, 8 to 9 million merchant points of sale and 300,000 or so terminals, there's a big gap there. And a lot of the long tail, the smaller merchants, I know have yet to really embrace the need to consider this right away. My question to you is really one of strategy. So when MagStripe was introduced initially, electronic MagStripe terminals, Visa subsidized those installations with merchants. The PIN networks did the same when PIN debit was introduced. Is there a reason that Visa didn't consider subsidizing terminals with respect to getting more EMV terminals into the market, and in particular in the storefronts of some of those smaller merchants that will be slow to come along?
Well, I think a lot of that really is related to the fact that the price point for chip enablement has really come down, particularly in recent years, compared to some of the earlier markets that went to chip technology. When some of the earlier markets went to chip technology, chip terminals could be several thousand dollars. And we know that roughly 30 to 40% of the terminals that are in the installed base in the U.S. today have chip hardware but may need software enabled. And particularly on the small business side, we've had several positive comments from local chambers of commerce and small business processors and small businesses themselves that they've been able to get chip terminals in the neighborhood of $100, sometimes some incentives to get very low cost or sometimes free terminals. And then there's many multiple suppliers that are providing devices like Square's $49 reader and the many terminals that are being offered for $100 to $200. So we've actually had a lot of positive comments and stories from many small business merchants across the country that have talked to their processor or possibly switched processor and sometimes gotten a very inexpensive or free terminal and even a better processing contract. So for particularly on the small business merchant side, it's been a rather straightforward enablement for them. There's also been some great integrated point of sale systems that are out there. There's more work to do, but for merchants that have multiple locations, there's been some great integrated systems that they've been taking advantage of. There was a local pizza parlor we talked to a few weeks ago who had a great system and was very encouraged by how that's helping her not only accept secure payments, but also run her business a little bit more smoothly. And so we've really seen a lot of positive progress when it comes to that. And we know that the cost, particularly the incremental cost of moving to chip, particularly now in the U.S., is really a very different price point than it was for many other countries at the time of their migration.
Got it. So looking ahead, I know that clearly the EMD solution is positioned as one that creates a more secure transacting environment for consumers and merchants. But I'd be curious to get your perspective on Visa's view with respect to EMD in enabling payments innovation more broadly as we look forward. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think a little bit what I was just mentioning a minute ago about mobile and contactless, we are seeing many merchants that are enabling both contact EMV as well as contactless and accepting Apple Pay and getting ready to accept Android and Samsung Pay. So we're seeing a lot more of that technology already becoming much more common and consumers trying these different mobile payments and becoming more familiar with them and asking merchants if they can use their mobile-enabled payment application at their location. So merchants are becoming aware due to consumer interest, and we're seeing a lot of merchants beginning to enable contactless as well as EMV when they do that upgrade at their point of sale. So I think that that's going to continue, particularly now that in addition to Apple Pay, there are other mobile providers with Samsung Pay and Android Pay out there in market. I think it's going to become even more popular with consumers, and merchants will begin to enable for that as well.
So everyone's been very focused on October the 1st, 2015. So let's do a little time travel and let's put ourselves into the October 1st, 2016 frame of mind. Give us your thoughts on where we'll be on the issuing and acceptance side. And, you know, again, to reprise a little bit more about Visa's focus in moving us along over those next 12 months.
Well, I think what we'll see as we head towards this time next year is a lot more debit enablement. So we've seen that credit has been leading in terms of credit card issuance and acceptance at the point of sale. And I think that the debit solutions will be a lot more available on the card side as well as at the merchant acceptance side as we get to this point in time next year. So I think credit and debit will be a little bit more evenly matched in terms of the amount of cards and transactions and enabled locations out in market to begin to accept EMV. So I think that that's one key distinction is we'll see more progress in terms of actual implementation and issuance on the debit side. And then we're going to continue to work with our partners to monitor what's happening with innovations in payments, how things continue to progress as we move to mobile and biometrics and other ways in which we're authenticating the consumer and how that begins to be integrated. But mostly it'll be continuing to educate that the consumer has zero liability. They can continue to use their Magstripe card. If they don't have a chip card yet, they may call their issuer to get one. But that this is going to be a multi-year process, and that's certainly what's to be expected.
Stephanie, thanks for your time. It's a very exciting time in payments and a very busy one as well, and we appreciate that you took time out to give us the lay of the land from Visa's perspective on such an important payments milestone. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Karen.